Blog Talk Radio.
Dare to be a diamond!
I am invincible!
Dare to be a diamond!
Unbreakable!
Like a diamond!
I am invincible! Unbreakable! And unconquerable!
Like a diamond!
I am no ordinary savant!
Dare to be a diamond. Like a diamond, I'm invincible, unbreakable, and unconquerable. Like a diamond, I'm no ordinary substance. I'm extraordinary. Dare to be a diamond. Dare to be a diamond. Like a diamond, I'm invincible, unbreakable, and unconquerable. Like a diamond, I'm no ordinary substance. I'm extraordinary.
Good evening and welcome to the Diamond Movement Show here on Married to Change Radio. I am your host, Tiffany Anisette, broadcasting live here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is April 20th, 2015, and we are so excited to be back this Monday. I am just returning from the Bahamas on today, and we had an awesome trip last week, so so excited to be back with you all on the Diamond Movement Show. And the Diamond Movement, as we say every Monday, is all about helping women heal from their past, embrace their present, and build their future. This show is all about helping women find the diamond within. It's based on my book titled Dare to Be a Diamond. And every week, I am daring you to be the diamond you were created to be. Every week, we are interviewing phenomenal women, our diamond divas, who have stories, who have what they call obstacles in their lives and how they have overcame these challenges and how they've turned their obstacles and challenges into a phenomenal story, an amazing story. And some of them have been blessed by the struggles that they've endured. We've been pursuing dreams for the last few months and just sharing information, sharing stories, and building and uplifting women everywhere. Thank you again for joining us. Again, if you're interested in calling today's show, the number is 718-305-6480. Our guest today is a phenomenal woman. She is our Diamond Diva for the week, and I'm so excited to be interviewing her. Her name is Lala Cindy Caldwell Dunston, and she has an amazing story that she's going to share with our guest on today. I'm so excited, and she is phenomenal. She has a story. She has a blessing out of this. And she's going to tell our listeners how they too can create something out of a story of their past, of their present, and how their life can change. Her bio was very interesting. I posted it on Facebook, and I just wanted to read what we listed here and to give you an idea of who we have on tonight. She is an advocate for individuals with disabilities. Her nonprofit, James and Mary Foundation Incorporated, was named after her parents who were deaf and unable to speak. And this foundation has been a catalyst for her work with the homeless in the Los Angeles area as well as the Atlanta, Georgia area. She is also the inspiration behind the new bill in Georgia, the HB 614, called the Landon-Dunston Act. Lala is the co-founder of the Circle of Daughters, and also the designer of the La Goodness, the La Goddess jeans and dress line. I am excited to hear more about that. And do we have Lala on the line?
Yes, you do, Tiffany. It's such a great honor to have me on your show.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so happy to have you on. So excited to hear all about everything that you have your hands in, because as women, that's exactly who we are. We have our hands in so many different areas, and it can be challenging, it can be overwhelming, and women out there want to know, how do you do it? How do you maintain being a mother, working in your nonprofit, you know, even having your creativity exercise in the fashion industry? I'm so excited. Please tell us more about you, Lala.
Definitely. Well, as you said, I am Lala Cindy Caldwell-Dunson, born and raised in Compton, California, Los Angeles. I am the daughter. I'm actually a CODA, and that acronym stands for a child of deaf and adults. As you stated earlier, Tiffany, both my parents were deaf. My first language was sign language, so that was a bit challenging as well. You don't realize it's challenging until you get older and then you're around people, and then they start seeing you talk to your parents when your parents pick you up from school using your fingers, and you're thinking it's normal to, well, it is normal to you, but everyone else is looking at you. Some of them are mocking you and laughing, teasing,
wow,
saying your parents can't talk. So, yeah, it was a bit difficult in that mindset as a child. And as you said, Tiffany, that just fueled my passion. It made me realize that what people are saying, and some that were laughing at my parents and laughing at me, and believe it or not, I was fighting every day. Didn't know how to educate as a little girl, so you're just fighting. Someone's talking about my parents. So, and then you get older, and then you think, okay, well, how can I educate people? A lot of people are a bit cruel because they don't understand. They don't understand that this person can't hear or speak, but they're still a person. We need to respect them. So I've been advocating since the age of 9, and yes, it definitely fueled my motivation to start the James and Mary Foundation, which is what's named after my parents. It's been a road. I'm still climbing the mountain as well. It's just something that comes naturally. And mm-hmm. I just love how you started the show when you said finding your passion, because we all have a diamond. Some men have diamonds too, believe it or not. And we definitely need to find what it is. And honestly, if we look deep within, we won't have to look too hard because it's there. And
yes.
Yeah.
And you know, when you talk about the diamond, it's also your assignment.
Absolutely.
Before you were created, this was your assignment, to be the child of two parents with disabilities that could not speak or hear. You had to grow up in an environment that was different than other children your age. As you shared, you were fighting many days. You didn't understand why that, you know, you got picked on or they picked on your parents, but to them, you're abnormal, your parents are abnormal, and to them, they're normal. And we live in a cruel world.
Yes, we do. Just thinking about just that quick, I don't think about it often, but just hearing you speak about the things that people say and do, I was really fighting for what I believed in. And as you said, I didn't even know it was natural for me, Tiffany. It was something that I was just born to do. And I was told by a close friend years ago, when you've got something that you want to do or you believe in, that's what you're to do. And I'm thinking, what? Yeah, I didn't understand that because it was what I did. And now, of course, I'm a lot older. I'm not 9 years old any longer. And I looked back and I said, wow. My husband said to me a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know what, you're one of those women. And I said, one of those women? And he said, yeah, you're like one of those, you're like a Martin Luther King woman. And I said, what? And I laughed. And I said, well, we've been together for a very long time. So, I mean, that was a compliment. I didn't understand it, but he did just kind of wake up and saw me on watching the news. And I was in tears hearing how some children with special needs had been treated, you know. And he said, you really care. And I thought, wow, I do. So you don't mm-hmm. really realize how passionate you are about something because it's natural. It's something that just oozes out of you. And
right.
I'm just glad God chose me. As you said, fighting. I didn't know what and why, but all I knew was, you know, you're saying something about my mom and my daddy, and that's not right. And, you know, it's just amazing now how things
turn. And you said, you know, God chose you. Yes, he did. To be 7 years old and to lose a mother, that had to be devastating.
Oh, girl. Yes, you're absolutely right. And that's why, Tiffany, I heard you mention the circle of daughters. I'm so glad you did. The circle of daughters is what I call a spin, if you will, from my experience having a mother. And I'm a grown woman. And honestly speaking, between you and me, Tiffany, I still want my mother, you know. And it's so hard growing up without a mother. You don't realize it until you realize you need your mother. So obviously, in the morning, as a child, you need your mom. And I'm very proud of myself. I have three older sisters and three younger sisters, and I'm very proud of myself to not have gotten into a lot of mischief as a kid, because without that guidance, you really can get kind of caught up in a lot of things. And not knowing, you just do. And I'm glad I didn't get caught up in ways that my family said should have happened to me and my sisters. And I just, it was God. I definitely think the things that I did go through were normal, such as seeing my friends with their mothers going to the mall and me sitting there thinking, wow, you got to go into the mall? Something like that. I'm like, yeah, we go to the mall all the time. So things like that definitely sadden me at many times. And, I thought as I became a woman that, wow, you know, God has blessed me with my own daughters. And I think, ooh, if anything happens to me, ooh, what's going to happen to my children? So I then started thinking about other people's children and thought, well, God, my daughters have me. Praise God, I'm still here. But there's a lot of beautiful little girls out there, all races, all walks of life, that's missing a mother. And it does not have to be your birth mother. Just anybody coming together and embracing that young lady, saying, hey, you know what? You're okay. I'm here. I'm here to hear what you have to say. I'm here to educate you and guide you. It's all right. You don't have to do that. I mean, we were missing that. I mean, I know I was. And so Circle of Daughters was a spinoff of a friend of mine, Shanae Blue, and I got together. She also lost her mother, but she was an adult. And we were just saying, hey, you're an adult. You lose your mother. A child, you're still losing a mother. And it's so hard.
Right.
Adult.
Right. And I'm sure at seven, there was a lot of unanswered questions and thoughts and things that couldn't be explained or understood at such an early age. But like you said, you grew up and you became a beautiful woman that had her own daughters and sons, by the way. and I have to say, you are a phenomenal mom. You're always doing things with your daughters, with your children, period. And you definitely put them first. So you may not have known what it felt like to have a mother for so many years, but whatever your idea was of what a mother is, you became that.
Aww.
And that speaks volumes.
And you know what, Tiffany, you're going to make me cry, but that is exactly what I say to myself. Because everyone, they ask, you know, for you not to have a mother, how do you cook so well? How do you do that? How do you know? I says, you know what? I say to each person that says to me, because I get it a lot, I say, you know what? I treat my children how I wanted my mother to treat me. And I'm the mother, Tiffany, that goes to the school and have lunch with my kids. And I have a fifth grader, you know, kind of embarrassed sometimes when I go kiss him on the cheek. And I wanted my mother to do this with me. And it took the principal to say, you know what, your son, LaDonna's, he's in fifth grade now. I said, you know what, but he wants me to come. And when I tell you my son is, hi, Mom, he's very excited. It makes me feel good. But I know one day, that day's going to come where he's going to say, okay, Mom, you're embarrassing me. So like I wish my mom, you know, would have treated me. And I think she would have. So I thank you for that, Tiffany.
And let me tell you, when our children do become adults, they'll look back at this time. They'll look back at the fifth grade lunch, you know, when my mom just popped up and sat with me. And they'll appreciate that. We are on live with the one and only Miss Lala Cindy Caldwell Dunson. and she is going to be sharing her phenomenal story with us this evening. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we return, we're going to talk to Lala about some more advocacy work that she's been doing with people, individuals with disabilities. And if you're interested in calling in, asking questions, please feel free to dial 718-305-6480. I'm your host, Tiffany Anisette, here on Married to Change Radio, and we'll talk to you once we return. Welcome back to the Diamond Movement Show here on Married to Change Radio. I'm your host, Tiffany Anisette, and we're here with our guest tonight. Her name is Ms. Lala Cindy Caldwell Dunston. Lala, are you there?
I am here.
Awesome. So we've been talking with Lala about growing up without a mother at a young age, also growing up with two parents with a disability of not being able to hear and not being able to speak, and using the power of sign language to communicate. And Lala, I noticed in your bio that you have been the advocate for a new bill here in Georgia called the Landon-Dunston Act. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, I definitely can. The bill, the Landon-Dunston Act, HB 614, is a new bill that I'm so, so proud to be a part of. I'm definitely being represented by State Representative Ms. Valencia Stovall. That bill is a very, very sensitive bill. Tiffany, parents, teachers alike have serious concerns about this bill, and this bill will, if passed, will definitely assist children with special needs and having a voice. My son, Landon, my youngest son, Landon, is a child who has autism and cerebral palsy. He cannot speak. He cannot tell me what's going on at school, if in fact he falls or hurt himself or anything of that nature. So this bill is instrumental in helping all the children and also teachers. There's so many kids that come to school with scratches and bruises, Tiffany, and blame the teachers, and some it came from home. So this bill will help both the parents and the teachers, and the representative, Ms. Valencia Stowell, will speak more about it throughout the summer. I'm not at liberty to go into as much detail as I like to, because it is a very sensitive bill. I had no idea how many people it would touch. As I said earlier, when you're doing something you truly care about, it's natural. And other people you find have been affected or hurt, or worse, even killed, you know. And then you teachers have been accused, wrongfully accused. So it's a very sensitive situation, and I'm definitely very thankful to God to be a part of it and to hopefully have it pass.
Wow, this is amazing. Because here you are, you were this young child that grew up in a family of disabilities, and then God blessed you with a child that also had a disability. How ironic. I guess you would say, why me, God, right? But because this was your assignment. And here you are, 2015, in the state of Georgia, because you are from California. You would get a bill passed, or where they're working on passing a bill in the name of your son. That's a wild God moment.
Wow, Tiffany, you're a tearjerker. yes, it is definitely. Let's first start with when you said I was blessed and with my son. And I look at it that way, and I'm so glad that you said that, Tiffany, because there's so many parents that have children with special needs that think, why me? And then you respond, why not you? And it's a beautiful thing. There's so many things that we go through, mothers that have children with autism. We go through so much, and it's I won't even lie to you. It's trying. It's challenging. I mean, I'm telling you, especially if you're a good mother. If you're a good mother, trust me, sometimes you don't sleep. But I look at it as a blessing, because I'll tell you a little something. When I moved to Georgia, I'll be honest, my plan, my husband said, hey, we're going to have babies. You don't work. You stay home. And I thought, are you kidding? I started this foundation to help people with disabilities. My parents are deaf. This is an honor to them. Well, girl, guess what? I was home having babies back to back. I didn't do much of anything. I had pretty much said, okay, I'll start back up later. Right now I'm in Georgia, different from California, and I'm just going to relax and, you know, listen to my husband for once in my life. And guess what? After my youngest child, who was Landon, in 2005, I'll tell you, had no idea I had no idea, obviously, that I'd have a child with special needs, but I know that that was God's way of saying, hey, you know what? I know your husband said to chill, and I didn't tell you to submit. However, you have a job to do, and since you won't get out there and help people that have disabilities and better in their lives like you started to when I incorporated in 1998, I'm going to do something, Lila. I'm going to give you your own child. This is going to get you quicker. So absolutely, Tiffany, I so know it was a blessing. And I said, how in the world? God, you're so smart. You know how to get me out there, because now I love everybody's child that has a disability. And I tell everybody, they're my kid. I'm going to advocate, because I get calls from parents all the time saying, hey, Lila, can you go talk to the teacher? This happened. And I don't mind that. My duty is to empower them. However, when you have your own child and your child is unable to speak, Landon went from not walking, not sitting up, Tiffany, he wouldn't even hold a bottle. I mean, we went through a lot, and he's, as you know, running and jumping. He's not speaking still, but he's running and jumping, and he hasn't come out of this world. So I look at it as, okay, God, this is what I got to do. Lo and behold, I started seeing other children and thinking, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, I want to be rich, God. I do. I want to have the abundance of everything. But, you know, my husband says, you're gonna continue with your nonprofit. It's a nonprofit. Hello. I said, you know what? I said, this is what I like to do. If God wants me to live abundantly in the lands of nuts and honey, he will definitely make it so. As of right now, my mission is to assist children, people of all walks of life with disabilities. And guess what? God gave me a child, my youngest child, Tiffany. How does that happen? Hello, this is what I'm supposed to do.
And you know, when God starts calling, you got to do it. So
exactly, exactly. And you said it, you know, you had a plan, your husband had a plan, but God had a different plan.
Absolutely.
And his plan was bigger than everybody else's. forced you to work in your assignment of what he had planned for your life. And now your son is, what, 10 years old?
Almost. He'll be 10 in August. And
10 years later, you have a bill sitting in the state of Georgia in representation of your child and every other child in the state of Georgia at this time. I mean, who knows, it could be nationwide. But your purpose, your assignment was here in Georgia because this is where your work is. And in addition to that, you have to, like you said, advocate for the rights of other children and other individuals. And you talked about this bill and how it's to protect. Yes, it's not only protecting your child. This is not a selfish thing. It's not a la-la thing. It's not a Landon thing. But this is protecting that teacher that's in that classroom.
That's right.
They have gotten falsely accused because that child can't talk, mm-hmm. and the parent automatically assumed, or, you know, the story was a whole other way. It wasn't that direction, but because there may be cameras available now, it's going to protect not only the child, but also that teacher's livelihood.
Absolutely.
Because that teacher did not sign up. Did not take the job just because. It takes a special type of person to work with children with disabilities. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone have the patience. Not everyone have the heart. So if they are there, I believe that 95% of them are there because they love what they do.
Yes, it's really nice for you to say that. I totally agree. Not maybe 95%, but I do believe there's a lot of teachers in there. I mean, I met some great teachers that truly mm-hmm. care about mm-hmm. their work. They really do. And I've met some teachers that don't. I've met some parents that care about their children. I've met some parents that don't. So
right.
And when your child is you feel being abused, it's really hard to think about the teacher until you
right.
sit back and say, hey, wait a minute. Let me clearly about this. All teachers aren't like this. Let's pray on it. I mean, it takes a lot because honestly, as a parent, I'll just be honest with you, as a parent, when your child has a scratch or a bruise and it's unexplainable and no one knows,
right.
You feel a different way. You don't feel,
yeah.
let me pray. And that's bad to say, but you don't. You're thinking protection mode. And
yes.
But you have to pray. That protection mode has to stay in the window. It doesn't go out of the window. It stays in the window, but you pray, and then God's going to show you how to protect so that you're not offending the right teacher. I believe
mm-hmm.
that those cameras, Tiffany, I believe that
mm-hmm.
there will be at least 98% of the teachers that will remain in these schools. And I think the teachers that aren't cut out for the job, that honestly may not have a bad bone in their body, but just cannot handle, don't understand. As you said, it takes a special teacher. And for those
mm-hmm.
teachers that I talk to that say, hey, you know what, Lala, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't do it. It's just too much. I get people telling me every day, how do you do it, Lala? This is, how do you run those five inch heels and run around with your kid? I said, you know what, I don't know, but I like my heels and I like my son, so they got to get along. But, you know, it's one of those things where I really want the good teachers, please stay. And those that aren't ready for it, leave. You're not hurting anybody. You just we understand. And I definitely want to weed out the parents that are causing problems for our teachers and accuse them of teachers. I mean, I want us all eventually to get along and say, hey, you know what? I care about your child.
Right.
And I care about you caring about my child, and I care about your job. We all need to work together and be there for the child. So I'm hoping the cameras
will get into effect as soon as possible. And I pray, I'm hoping, Tiffany, that teachers that hear about this bill will embrace it and not think that we're trying to be a watchdog or police them. It's not about that. It's about, sure, my son has had some issues. I'm not going to deny that he has. But at this point, I want the teachers and parents alike to embrace that this is protection. This will help as an educational tool for the teachers, the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's a win-win. And that's why, as I said, it's a very sensitive subject. And I just pray that as the summer begins, I pray that these town hall meetings that Representative Valencia Stovall will lead become more of a support and not something nasty. Because this is a beautiful thing, as you said, to protect everyone.
Right. Well, ladies, you are listening to Lala here on the Dining Movement Show on Married to Change Radio. And if you have any questions, feel free to dial our number 718-305-6480. We're going to take a short break. And once we return, we're going to bring our guests back and ask some more questions and get some more information about women empowerment. So excited to have our guests online. We'll talk to you when we return.
I am ready. Why are you hiding from me? I'd quickly give my freedom to be held in your captivity.
Welcome back to the Diamond Movement Show here on Married to Change Radio. I'm your host, Tiffany Anisette, and our guest tonight is Ms. Lala Cindy Caldwell-Dunson. And we've been talking to Lala tonight all about her journey and her assignment of working with individuals with disabilities. Lala, are you with us?
I am.
Awesome. So we talked about your son, you know, God blessing you with a son that has a disability so you couldn't run away from the work that you were doing in L.A. and you were forced to continue making a difference in people's lives who were experiencing, who had disabilities and who may have some challenges in life. In your bio, you also talked about some of your work that you've done with homeless population and also how you're helping Billy get up on their feet and kind of get a guide on life, and you're kind of holding their hand and helping them sort through some things. So share more about that work.
Okay, absolutely. Well, yeah, the James and Mary Foundation, named after my parents, started in May 26, 1998, and obviously that mission was to, or is to, assist and empower people with unique challenges or disabilities in obtaining employment, subsidized housing, becoming self-sufficient, advocacy, independent living skills. Our main concern when it comes to job placement is to assist and empower people with disabilities, and not only working for someone, but starting your own business. That's really the hot topic of the James and Mary Foundation and the employment status. We teach our clients to assist themselves, obviously, and to assist others in the employment place. When I say others, I'm speaking of the employers, because a lot of employers have hearts of gold. They don't understand people with disabilities. They don't understand that, yes, there are definitely some limitations, but there are certain things that they can do. For instance, a person that has hearing impairment. Both my parents were deaf. My father worked for McDonnell Douglas Aircraft. I mean, made tons of money. Really, 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 really a good guy. And he definitely became more successful as he got older and graduated. And a lot of people say your father graduated from school. Yes, my mom did too. My mom actually, as a matter of fact, Tiffany, was a seamstress. And that's where my other creativity juices flow from. So I started that foundation to assist people that, for instance, let me digress here. I have two guys that I'm really proud to speak on. They're hearing impaired, they're deaf, and they would try and get people to assist. They tried to assist the neighbors where they lived in mowing their lawn. And he would tell me, you know, in sign language, of course, that, you know, I need some money and I would love to mow lawns. And of course, me and my brain, I think, you know what, we'll start your own lawn business. So being a vendor for the state of Georgia at that time, I was able to assist these wonderful young men in starting their own lawn service. Yes, they were able to purchase, by the help of the state of Georgia, so they're wonderful in that way, they were able to purchase 2 driving lawnmowers, and they started their own business. And
wow.
It was called they called it Silent Grass.
Wow.
So we empower, I've got a few people that one of my clients like to sew. I said, why don't you start your own dress line? And she told me I was crazy. I said, no, I'm not. If you don't think you can do it, you're crazy. And she says, no. And I said, you'd like to sew? So we went to the fabric store, Joanne's Fabric. We got some fabric. And I said, wow, I love this dress here. I said, why don't you see if you can make it? You can't make it. And she made it. So now I haven't talked to her in almost a year, but last I talked to her, on her way to New York, and she said she was going to start selling her dresses. So it's all about empowerment and development, and teaching them that, yes, you have a disability or a unique challenge, but utilize what gift you have. And then, so
that's
definitely
awesome. That is awesome, because I'm sure, you know, people that we consider normal without disabilities, they doubt them. So I can just imagine what a person that has a disability in a certain area, how they would feel, oh, I can't do that because this is wrong with me or that is wrong with me. But you and your foundation, you're inspiring them and empowering them to use the gift that's already within them to create financial freedom and, you know, flexibility in their schedule, so they don't have to work for someone because they already have the gift within them. You talked about having the lawn service. What did you call it? Silent lawn?
Silent. They call it silent grass.
Wow.
I kind of tried to urge them to use lawn, silent lawn, but they both told me no, that it's their business and they're the boss. So I said, okay, excuse me.
Yes.
So their lawn service was called silent grass. So it's definitely empowering. And
yes.
I believe in helping, but I like to let people see the gift that, as you, what you do is just so wonderful, Tiffany. You you're exposing people to themselves. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. You're exposing them to themselves. Look in the mirror. There's something that's inside of you. And I tell my clients, you can do this. You can be all that you can be, not cliche-ish, but be all that you can be and be happy at it and provide for your family. I mean, I had a hard life coming up. When I say it was, I went through a lot. And to look at myself now, I haven't had that cry yet, Tiffany, I'll be honest with you, because I got some fears to let go, girl. I've gone through so much, and I look and I say, wow, God is good, and he's not done with me yet, so I'm kind of scared of how this is going to finish up. I'm like, God, can it get any better? And it's not so much the material, it's how I feel about myself, and I feel good knowing that I'm inspiring someone. I don't know who it is, but I'm inspiring a young lady that didn't have a mother. A young person that didn't know what to do in life, a person that saw a person with a disability or couldn't speak and they were laughing and making fun, using the word, the R word, which I don't like to use, but, you know, that R word that people use, it rhymes with arted and, you know, so, but people are, I'm going to inspire someone and they're going to think, okay, well, hey, this isn't good to say, this hurts someone. So I'm very proud of myself and I used to feel, and I thank my husband. He would tell me a lot of times when I hear women fussing about certain things that they're going through, and I would try my best, Tiffany, because I tell people, oh, I've been there too, and I understand. And you want to share your testimony, and you got to share it with people that really want to embrace it and understand, you know. So I remember my husband telling me, I hear you talking sometimes, and you always put yourself in a situation going back to when you didn't have this or didn't have that. It's okay to say, let them know that this is what I've been through and this is how I got out of it. And I used to say, wow, that's, you know, because you feel, sometimes you feel bad to tell people, well, you know, I'm not going through what you're going through. I did, but I would kind of make it pretty and say, well, you know what, I know, I understand, opposed to inspiring them and pushing them, saying, yeah, it's okay, but it's going to get better. Because I don't want people to think that I was better. Like, I've had people say to me, oh, girl, you've got it going on. And I say, girl, if you knew what I've been through, you'd be throwing red carpets down when I walk through the floor. I've been through a lot, lady. So, and I'm learning to embrace it and share and let people know that if I can't, you can. I'm no different. And especially people with disabilities, as you said, you can imagine what we go through with not having so many limitations. When I tell you people with disabilities, I don't feel sorry for them at all. What I feel bad about is people that don't understand and that aren't educating themselves about what they can do. And so that's what I spend my time doing, educating employers that mean no harm when they say, how are they going to drive to work? How can you hear the ambulance? I mean, you can't hear. How can he? And, I mean, back in the day when I was a lot younger, I used to fuss. What do you mean my daddy can't hear? He doesn't need to hear. He can. And now I smile and I educate because it's all about, you know, teaching and inspiring. My mother-in-law, too, she says, how did your daddy hear you guys crying when you were little? I remember her saying that to me when I moved to Georgia. I don't understand how you have parents that are deaf. How did they do that? I mean, that's, wow, that's scary. And I looked at her really nicely, and I said, thank you, Jesus, I can say this nicely and not feel like someone's, because people aren't being mean, Tiffany. They just don't know, and you've got to educate them. And as a little girl, I wish, looking back, that I knew what I knew now. Of course, you don't know when you're a lot younger, but that when the man at the cleaners called my daddy all these names, deaf and dumb, and opposed to being only 10 years old, girl, and forgive me, but I said some things to that man in the cleaners that I shouldn't have said, and my dad couldn't hear me because he was deaf. But I told my dad he was being mean to him and telling my dad, you know, you're deaf and dumb, get out of here. Because my father was trying to write something out on a piece of paper explaining to the guy at the cleaners that he didn't have all the money, he would come back to get his cleaning, and the men thought my father was crazy. So it's been a long journey, and I'm just so happy that God put me in this place to not only better myself, but to inspire and to educate people with disabilities to say, you can do it. And my next stop, which I didn't put in my bio, is I'm trying, Tiffany, to get the movie theaters. I'm hoping to one day sit face-to-face with Mr. Tyler Perry himself. I'm hoping today to get the movie theaters closed captioned where people that are deaf can go to the movie and watch the movie. Did you know, Tiffany, that people that are hearing impaired, they've got to wait for the movie to come on the Blu-ray or DVD in order to have access to it? I mean, they could go to the theater. Some places, I believe in California now, they have it where you can go to the theater 6 or 7 months after the movie comes out, and they will have a day where it's called Death Day, and people can go watch the movie. And I think that's so sweet and kind, but why can't people that are deaf go to the movie the same time Tiffany and I go to the movies? There should be some theaters in place that have closed caption where people that are deaf can watch them. I mean, I used to interpret the entire movie, Tiffany, to my dad in sign language in the dark so he would know what they're saying on the screen, because we were both movie buffs before he passed. So that's one of my missions, and I'm hoping to inspire one of these great producers and directors to be the first one to have a theater that's closed caption accessible to people that are deaf.
Well, I tell you what, based on what you have accomplished thus far, that would just be another notch in your belt and something that would not be far-fetched, because the things that you've already accomplished in your mission and your assignment, it's opening doors for the next thing. So I just want to encourage you to continue being the liaison for people that have disabilities. Continue doing the work that you do, because it takes someone with a heart like yours, with an experience like yours, to have the love and the passion to fight for rights, try to find opportunities for betterment for the people. And you said something that was very important. You said your job is to help them see what is possible and to help them see what they can do. So if you have them focusing only on what is possible, they can't see what's not possible. If they only focus on what they can do, they don't know what they can't do.
Absolutely.
And that's with anyone, whether you have a disability or not. If you never know what you cannot do, you can always do what you can do that thing, because you don't know that you cannot do it. So you're not going to doubt yourself. You're not going to be fearful of moving forward. You're not going to limit your possibilities and your opportunities because you don't see the negative side of it. You only see the positive. You only see what you can do. You only see what you are good at, what you're gifted in. So if you don't see anything else, if I'm blind and only thing I see is my happiness, I don't know negativity.
Wow.
I don't know that it exists. Mm. If I'm deaf and whatever I consider is my hearing, that's all I know. So nothing else matters. And when you are pursuing your dreams and your goals, nothing else matters. Competition doesn't matter. What people say about what you're doing doesn't matter, because you're focused. You only see what's at the end of your tunnel. You only see your rainbow. You don't have time to worry about somebody else's creation or whether or not their website is better than yours or, you know, what they're driving. And, you know, we get into that. We get into competition. We get into, you know, I think she has more than me, or we start comparing ourselves, our gifts.
Yes.
But if we only focus on what we do well and stay on that course, we can do anything.
Absolutely.
And I am so excited that you're here sharing your story, because not everyone has a heart to work with people with disabilities or the experiences that you in your lifetime up until this point that puts you in such a position to be on this assignment.
Absolutely.
And you are a voice for people that don't have a voice. You are the ears for people that can't hear.
Absolutely.
Or the people that are being looked over, you are the advocate.
And that you're absolutely right, and I receive that, and you know, it feels good. It really feels good. It's a feeling I can't, well, I won't even have to explain it. For everyone that knows what they're supposed to be doing with their lives, that's how it feels. It's good. And people that are happy, if they're happy, they have no idea how much happier they will be once they find out what God wants them to do. Because some people are happy walking around and they think that that's it. But if they are not doing what God put inside of them and they have not scratched that surface, oh my goodness, the abundance. And it is something that I'm definitely proud of. I mean, when I would be when I was in Los Angeles, I assisted a lot of people. I was a caseworker for a wonderful shelter called Family Shelter, and I would assist people. Actually, I wouldn't say assist. My husband really talks about it to this day. Me and another staff member, we would pick people literally off Skid Row, and Skid Row is where a lot of people that are homeless live. We would actually physically, we drive our van around and see people sitting and laying on the curb or anywhere. And we would boldly, at night, Tiffany, and I'm a pretty strong cookie, but I look back and say, girl, what were you thinking? You don't know what's going to happen late at night. But that, I mean, I was working. It was a job. But I enjoyed it. I loved when I would say, hi, you know, are you hungry? And a person, man or woman, with a child, sometimes really broke my heart. They would say, yes. I said, well, I've got something for you to eat. I've got sandwiches here right now. But if you come with me in this van, yes, we told them to come in the car with us in the van, and I can take you to the shelter and make sure we clean you up and you can think about what you want to do with your life. And my husband, I'll tell you what he would actually ride behind the van. Sometimes I didn't even know, because he would say, you're not doing that job. That's dangerous. He would ride behind the van. He said three cars behind just to make sure that we were all okay. You know,
right.
And we didn't pay much money, but it was something that I really had to do. And the sad part about it is, you know, a lot of people think the ones that are homeless are really, really have a choice. I mean that they don't have a choice. They really do. When I tell you, I met this guy, he was a veteran, and he had a dog with him, and we were trying to get him in the van. And he said, well, I offered him sleeping at the shelter, food. They were allowed to stay at the shelter for 2 weeks, and hopefully by the time we could help them get subsidized housing. Where he told me, he says, you know what, if you can't get my dog in that shelter with me, I ain't going. And I looked at him, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You're gonna have to put your dog away. And, you know, and my point, I'm saying, some people are out there, and it's not
my
because
choice.
Yeah, they want to be, and not that they're crazy. I mean, when you have a dog and you have no one else, that's your family. And I looked at that. I looked at it differently. I still rather him come with me and be warm as opposed to sitting out on the street, sleeping on the street at night. But it's just amazing. That whole journey taught me so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, for some people, it's a sense of freedom. And it may not make sense to us. You know, they may get tired of the everyday grind and trying to make it and, you know, trying to succeed and do different things in life, and they decide this is going to be it. So you never know what people's story may be and why they're where they are, but we are to embrace everyone. And before we go, I just wanted to have you touch on for like 2 minutes your designs, because this was pretty exciting to me, the La Goddess jeans and dress line. Just briefly, give me a little information about that.
Absolutely, Tiffany. La Goddess dresses and jeans, I mean, there's something that it's dedicated to my mom. I didn't know for a while, until maybe 10 years ago, I found out my mom was a seamstress, because like I said, she died when I was very young. But and I started this jean line in referencing her, and the jean line are different, obviously different sizes of jeans. And what our jeans do inside the hem part, or shall I say not the hem part, where the belt lock goes, there's different names that appear. For instance, a size nine would be my size nines are they're goddess. And size 7 would be princess. And mm-hmm. a size 3 would be something, you know, it's inspiring girls to know that they're I don't have any diamond jeans, but I'm thinking now. So right now we have 3 different sizes, and I'm obviously hoping to grow, and it's a new line. Our dresses, the same. Our dresses, they're not sizes. They're names. They're titles, and that's my little niche to inspire our wonderful young ladies. I'm very excited about the line. I plan to market more, and all of the proceeds will benefit the James and Mary Foundation. And I'm hoping that it will inspire a lot of our younger women and old alike to definitely embrace that creativity. I'm hoping that it's something that when people are purchasing these dresses and these jeans, that they will think that the money that they spend on the outfits. I'm hoping to get shirts in there one day, not just yet, but I'm hoping it will inspire them to either start something on their own or just to remind them that this is helping a child. This is helping an adult, someone that has a disability. This will help them. And I'm hoping to eventually get into some stores. I mean, you know, I'm thinking big. But right now, we don't have a boutique yet, but I'm hoping in the near future we will. And I'm hoping to for – I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I didn't get the – my plan was to get prom dresses ready for the proms, but I missed that so much. As you said, I've got so much going on and trying to prioritize everything. But I'm hoping by next year we will have a slew of dresses that I'd like to donate to maybe 50 young ladies out of school and eventually all the prom girls that need dresses that mothers could not assist them with locating a prom just because the mother is no longer with them. So I'm hoping it will turn into that phase. So how can I say? Young ladies, they just touch my heart, and I'm sure you know because you are the diamond diva.
Well, you know, it all starts with just an idea. And like I share with my listeners every Monday night, you know, the purpose of the Diamond Movement is to inspire, empower, to pull out, to get to be creative, to find your passion, your creative side. And amongst all the things that we do and all the titles that we carry as women, being a mother, you know, you're a mother with a child with a disability, and you have the foundations and all the work that you're doing, you still find time to be creative, and that's phenomenal in itself, because beyond being that person that has to do, you know, you have your schedule from day to day, you still have a creative side of the brain that has to be exercised. And we have had an awesome show tonight, talking with Lala, sharing her story, being a part of her journey, and just all this wonderful information that she shared with us, and knowing that you are also using your creativity to share with the world is a wonderful thing. Pursue your dreams. That is what it's all about, pursuing everything that's within you. You know, before Miles Monroe passed away, he said that he wanted to die empty, and he must have done that because he continued to create. He created and created and created, so he must have been empty when he left this world, and that is our purpose, to leave here empty, that we have nothing else to give to the world, but whatever it is, our purpose here on earth, we need to fulfill that. We need to be on our assignment. And Lala, thank you so much for being a part of the Diamond Movement show on tonight.
Thank you. And I want to thank you, Tiffany, for all that you do. You are a wonderful, wonderful, phenomenal woman.
Thank you. Again, until next Monday, thank you all, my listeners, for joining us here on the Diamond Movement show on Married to Change Radio. I'm your host, Tiffany Anastet, and until next week, I will talk to you then. Have a wonderful week.
Dare to be a diamond!
I am invincible.
invincible.
Dare to be a diamond.
Unbreakable.
Like a diamond.
I am invincible. Unbreakable. And unconquerable.
Like a diamond.
I am no ordinary substance.
I am extraordinary.
Like a diamond.
I am no ordinary substance.
I am extraordinary.
Dare to be a diamond. Dare to be a diamond. Like a diamond, I'm invincible, unbreakable, and unconquerable. Like a diamond, I'm no ordinary substance. I'm extraordinary. Dare to be a diamond. Dare to be a diamond. Like a diamond, I'm invincible, unbreakable, and unconquerable. Like a diamond, I'm no ordinary substance. I'm extraordinary.